Hey everyone, this is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology. Today we're going to take a look at Mars crossing the north node of the moon in the sign of Aries. The reason that we want to look at this is that we had a solar eclipse in the sign of Aries while Mars was in Pisces. So Mars coming into the sign of its own domicile and moving through the degree space that the eclipse recently happened in is going to reactivate and sort of energize some of the symbolic meaning of the recent eclipse and sort of push the agenda of that eclipse forward in our lives. This is happening, remember, during a moon cycle in which the entirety of the moon cycle is also pushing forward the agenda of the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. So with Venus and Mars in the signs of their own rulership, we are starting to see the solar eclipse in April and the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in April getting those energies are now accelerating tremendously because of the positions of Venus and Mars and other events happening in Taurus and Aries. So we're going to look at today in terms this transit of Mars and the North Node today in terms of the recent eclipse and what it might do for us in terms of continuing to carry forward the significations of that event. So anyway, that's our goal for today. Before we get into it, don't forget to like and subscribe. When you like and subscribe, it helps the channel to grow. We really appreciate you helping us get the word out there about Nightlight, the school, all of our amazing offerings, and the channel, obviously. You can find a transcript of any of my daily talks on the website, which is nightlightastrology.com. We have a deadline coming up. So we are going to, tomorrow night, you have one day left to sign up for my talk on Neptune's entrance into Aries. I will be giving a talk tomorrow night, May 16th, from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern time on the entrance of Neptune into Aries, which is the big outer planetary transit happening next year. It's a good time to look at it as Neptune is culminating in the 29th and final degree of Pisces now and into June before turning retrograde. So it's on the doorstep of this change right now. And it's a good time to look at it. This is going to feature one of the most significant transits of the decade in Saturn conjoining Neptune in the sign of Aries. We're going to look at the most recent period of Neptune's transit through Aries, which was 1861 to 75, which is the American Civil War. So we are, this is big stuff. This is a really big and important transit that we all should start looking at in terms of both collective and personal meaning. That is tomorrow night. If you register and can't make it live, you can always, you get the download afterwards. So you can watch the replay. The other thing is we are at the deadline for the early bird rate for the program. Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic begins on June 16th. And if you go to the courses page, click on the first year course and scroll down, you can learn all about it. After today's video, you'll see that I've tagged on an additional informational video to the end so that you can learn more about the first year program. The early bird rate lasts until today. We have decided that we are going to extend it until Friday just because it's the middle of the week and a lot of people have been emailing saying they get paid and so on and so forth. They want to wait until the end of the week. So you have until Friday this week, May 17th. We're going to extend it 2 days that you can use the early bird payment or early bird payment plan. Of course, if you're someone who needs assistance and you're struggling financially, we also do have need-based tuition assistance, which puts you in a sliding scale situation. You can choose a rate that works for you. We match you with a payment plan within that range of monthly, what you can afford on a monthly payment basis. And then you can sign up for the program that way. And that's available all the way till the start of the program. We like to make sure no one's priced out. But take advantage of the early bird sale while it lasts. We're extending it to Friday, so you have a couple more days. And we also hope to see you tomorrow night at the Neptune and Aries talk. Be sure to sign up for that now so you can get the login link for the webinar. Okay, let's turn our attention now to Mars and the North Node in the sign of Aries. So here we have the transit. It is Wednesday, May 15th. And we are looking at the conjunction of Mars and the North Node here in Aries, which will be happening over the weekend. I use the mean node. So if you use the true node, the timing might be a little different. But if we give this like a 3-degree range of separation, you're going to see that this lasts until about next week at the same time, 3 degrees separating by May 22nd, Wednesday. It's a week from today. So we're now in this range of 2 to 3 degrees here. And I could have easily started this yesterday, but I wanted to look at the the conjunction between the Sun and Jupiter yesterday. So we saved this for today. The effects you may also, you, in other words, you may be noticing them already. And they really start popping over the weekend. And then the separation occurs again by about the middle of next week. So first of all, let's go back in time and revisit the solar eclipse that just recently happened in the month of April. Remember that the month of April was an incredibly powerful month because we had both a solar eclipse in Aries, this cardinal fire sign that initiates new things in such a powerful way. We also had Mercury retrograding in the sign of Aries. The eclipse was also, let's just put in Chiron here, the eclipse was also exactly conjoined with Chiron at the degree of the sun's exaltation. I mean, what a powerful symbol, really. So now we're seeing, okay, here we have this, I'm going to put it right there. You can see the triple conjunction, sun, moon, Chiron, right? Here's the solar eclipse. So there we go. So that was with the north node of the moon, again, mean node measurement at about 15 degrees of Aries. Remember, Venus was in Aries at the same time, and at the exact same time, we also had Mars and Saturn together in Pisces. So the ruler of the eclipse was in a banged up position, meaning it does not have any dignity of its own. It's in an adjacent sign that cannot see its own sign by a traditional aspect, conjoined with another malefic, you know, just turbulent. In the meantime, we also had Jupiter and Uranus coming together by April 20th. Here we can see the two of them getting together, and they were in the sign of Taurus. However, at that time, Venus was getting together with Chiron at the eclipse degree, debilitated. So, I mean, like, seriously, the two biggest events of the year, in a way, that they fall in the same calendar month anyhow, the solar eclipse in Aries and the subsequent Jupiter-Uranus conjunction were hosted by planets that were banged up. This is why it is so significant that right now in the month of May, we are looking at such a different scenario. We have Mars in Aries out of its out of a more difficult space and into its own domicile in the sign that the eclipses it rules or it ruled takes place. So back home where the eclipse takes place, we get a new moon. On May 7th, we had the new moon in Taurus with Venus in Taurus, with Jupiter in Taurus, just coming off from the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. A lot more support, and the most positive, auspicious significations of the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, you think of sort of Venusian revolution, is now being much more, you're finding much more support for it in the sky in this moon cycle. And then you go forward a little bit, and now we've got Mars coming through around that 13th degree, get into the 14th and 15th degrees of Aries as it's separating, which is where the North Node was when the eclipse occurred. And then if you take it forward even a little bit more, you'll have Mars going over the eclipse degree by May 25th, and then conjoining Chiron, who was also with the eclipse, obviously, by about May 29th and 30th. So the last part of this month, you can see how Mars is hitting all of the spaces in Aries that were active in the month of April in such a big way. So what does all of that mean? What kind of sense can we make out of this? I mean, if you were able to follow that and that all made enough sense in the broad scope of things, you understand in astrological theory that basically what we're seeing is momentum and energy and the ability for the eclipse in Aries to express itself more constructively is now supported by what we're seeing. The conjunction of the North Node and Mars is about the fulfillment of the kind of direction and action that Mars and the solar eclipse wanted to take. So a way of thinking about it is, let's just say that you want to start a business. Let's say somehow that ended up being the impulse behind the solar eclipse in Aries, which would be very fitting since Aries is a cardinal fire sign that likes to start new endeavors, especially things that are entrepreneurial and pioneering, take a kind of courage to stand and do something on your own. I'm going to work for myself. Very Aries-like signatures. Let's say that was behind the solar eclipse in your chart for whatever reason. At first, you didn't have the resources, or you had to deal with people maybe around you doubting you, or you had to deal with complications in your life and that were, you know, emotionally complicated. I'm just making things up, but the idea would be that whatever that intention was, you know, to start a new business, wherever it came from, initially the support wasn't there. And you've been having to like bushwhack through the jungle, you know, trying to find a clear path toward that goal or dream or aspiration or intention. Now we see the Mars coming through with the north node of the moon, and it's as though suddenly it's time to form that LLC. It's time to write your business plan. It's time to fill out the application for the small business loan. It is time to make your website live. It's that kind of energy. So the Mars with the North Node says, okay, now I'm here, the host of the eclipse. I'm in my own sign. I have the resources. I have the energy. It is go time. Now, that might mean that you also have to start confronting things or using your will and a kind of heroic effort to start doing something. It's not always easy. Like Mars is a planet of perseverance and willpower and courage. We might have to muster up the courage or willpower to do something right now that we've been wanting to do since the eclipse. Now it's time to do it. That doesn't mean it's necessarily going to be easy, but the energy is there. The sort of gumption or stick-to-itiveness is better signified now. Another thing that we can think about is that the whatever we've been trying to heal or whatever kinds of wounds we've been nursing in terms of the sign of Aries around willpower, individuality, strength, assertiveness, a sense of security within ourselves. I am okay. I'm an independent, strong, capable person. These are Aries themes. If there have been wounds around those subjects in your life, you may also find that right now and for the rest of this month, as Mars is working its way across these degrees, the North Node, Chiron, that you're starting to discover that, you know, you are capable, or you're starting to get some of that healing work accomplished, so to speak. Or it could be that the wounds that the eclipse brought up in the sign of Aries that you've been working on, let's say, are now there's another, it's like a second layer is being pulled back. But the idea is that you should be able to work through things more effectively now, or that you're ready to take a next big step. The other way of thinking about Mars and the North Node is that we're going to see just in this little window of time, and that from now till like next week, you're going to see a rapid acceleration of events, circumstances, energies just sort of conspiring to push forward unobstructed. So watch for that. And that's a little abstract. Like you may not, I think for people who are really familiar with astrology, it's easy to notice these currents, but it doesn't always happen in one singular event. It's more like a theme of momentum or a theme of forward progress or energy or confidence that's coming through, or again, like sudden momentum on things that have been stuck or taking a while. Watch for all of that. So in terms of let me go back here for just a second. The other thing, remember that we just had the Mercury retrograde in the sign of Aries. So one thing that I would highly recommend would be going back into your birth chart and looking at that whole sign house of Aries, basically asking the questions, what are the topics of this house and how have they been active in my life recently? And as you take note of that, you're going to notice that from the eclipse to the Mercury retrograde, there's been a lot of emphasis on that whole sign house in your chart. And so this period of time now, again, you can think of as just sort of generally activating and making the topics of that place in your chart a lot stronger, brighter, more important or significant for like the next week or so. And much more significant than it would be from even a normal Mars transit through Aries, which is a strong placement for Mars, because it's hitting the North Node, because there was a recent solar eclipse, and so on and so forth. Okay, so those are some of the things that I think you ought to watch for. Here's another way of looking at the nodes of the moon. You guys know on my channel that I teach the traditional view of the nodes. And the basic meaning of the nodes of the moon being that they are nodes of the moon and that the moon represented the realm of fortune, the North Node was generally associated with any kind of augmentation of fortune, things that grow. things that get bigger, things that are amplified. And it's associated a little bit with like Jupiter or Venus, planets that were associated with growth in the plant kingdom, like just the conditions under which plants grow and flourish or babies are born. They're fertile. So the North Node has a kind of materially rich, fertile energy that makes things grow. Ancient astrologers did not associate that with a path by means of which your soul levels up or something, as it might in, say, evolutionary astrology. And even in Indian astrology, Rahu is associated with our material desires and impulses that take us into the material world, whereas Ketu is associated with those impulses that tend to diminish the importance of material things in for the sake of larger ideas, beliefs, or even spiritual experiences. Anyhow, with Rahu in the North Node or the ancient Hellenistic North Node interpretation, you have the idea of the Mars impulse taking us into the material world through things like strength, aggression, competition, dominance, victory, assertiveness, development of individual power and capability, belief in yourself, courage. All of these themes are being amplified, and the potential for them to grow and realize things in the material realms that we live in are strong right now. For example, the idea of competitive dominance. I can be better at something. I can, even if it's just competition within yourself, I can excel at something. I can be stronger or faster, or I can be braver, or I can do hard things, or I'm going to do something and I don't care what anyone else thinks. All of those themes being very Aries and very Mars-like can all just be greatly augmented or amplified. They can also follow closely along a path of ambition. I'm doing something with this kind of strength and moxie because I want it, right? That's a very North Node Mars kind of signification in the sign of Aries. So anyhow, think about those things right now too, just broadly speaking, aside from any narrative arc you build with your eclipses or not. I want to take you back in time for one last activity today before we sign off. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to remove everything from our perspective except for Mars and the North Node. And what we're going to do is we're going to go back in time and we're going to see the last couple of times that they crossed one another, because this is a really fun exercise, in my humble opinion. So if you look at about July of 2022 to August of 2022, you can see right here that Mars and the North Node crossed. So if you look back at that time in the sign of Taurus, you will see that we had similar themes. I think this is really interesting when I look at it in my own life, because this was right about the time where I started shifting from my practice of bhakti yoga to more of an emphasis on the importance of my physical body and the material world. The practice of bhakti yoga, while it's very beautiful, tends to see the material world as a kind of illusion to be transcended through the practice of bhakti. And that's a little simplified, but this was right around the time where I made the decision, although it would take a few more months before I sort of fully committed to it. This was around the time that I was talking to my Jungian therapist at the time about saying, the body is so important to me, and I really need to honor the physical nature of my existence in the way I practice spiritually, and I don't think bhakti is quite the right fit. That was happening as North Node and Mars crossed in my first house, the place of the body and identity. But look at the whole sign house of Taurus in your chart. That's the point. All right. Now we go back in time again, and there's another really interesting period right here. So this is March of 2021 through about April of 2021. I find this one really, really fascinating because this is crossing in Gemini. And one of the things that, I'm a Taurus rising, this falls in my second house. And at this time, I was completely reorganizing my financial reality because we were in the process of buying a home. And you guys know, when you buy a home, you have to budget and figure out how much you're going to spend on your electric bill and all this kind of stuff. So that period of time was a very busy period of reorganizing and developing a new financial plan so we could figure out what kind of house we could afford and blah, blah, blah. So I was in my financial house. Isn't that interesting? So go back in time and look at these. What was happening around March, April? What kinds of, you know, in what way were you pushing forward and gaining this kind of momentum? And how did you see Mars getting amplified or augmented? All right, let's go back in time some more. The next one would have been the sign of Cancer. This is June of 2019 to July of 2019. And a difficult passage because Mars was debilitated. So during this time, this was in my third house in the sign of Cancer where my Sun is located, also ruler of my fourth house of home and family. And during this time, my wife's parents got a divorce during this North Node Mars passage. So that was a time when the difficulties of Mars and Cancer could have seen greatly amplified. Anyway, what happened for you at that time? Look at the whole sign house of Cancer. Let's go back again. You can see it they come through every couple of years. So this is August 2017 to September of 2017, like right around that time. And so then you can see that this is taking place during the late summer of 2017. So for Leo, for me, that was the fourth house. This is when we decided we were going to have baby number two. And so fourth house, the development of family and home. And we also started planning to eventually move and relocate because we had a teeny tiny little house. We were like, okay, well, if we have two kids, we're going to need a second bedroom eventually, et cetera. So anyway, that was a family planning moment for us as Mars went through the North Node in the fourth house of home and family in my chart. I just am using these to prime the pump so that you guys can hopefully be successful in figuring out what kind of, in Mars North Node is always like, let's go, let's move forward. And how does that energy of desire and ambition and willpower and the energy to act, how is it pushing some agenda forward? And you look at the topics of the house. And anyway, so this is right here. This is November into December of 2015. This was in my fifth house, and that was when my first daughter was born. So everything was preparing for a new child and being a parent. This was in my fifth house of children and pregnancy, and it was all about preparing the house and then the actual delivery in December and so on and so forth. So again, really beautiful how when they cross, things manifest. The will and the desire for something new expresses itself in a very strong way. Let's keep going back. So you can trace it back here. This is like, I'd say, June through July of 2014. Around this time, this was in my sixth house, just the place of employees. And we were hiring our first yoga studio manager at this time. So sixth house, place of employees and people that you hire, among other topics. Mars and North Node manifested in terms of having to hire someone for the yoga studio to manage the studio. Excuse me. Let's go back again. That was Libra. Now we can see, okay, look here, September 2012 through about October of 2012. This was in the seventh house in my chart. And this was a period of time where my wife and I were starting to test the marriage waters. We were essentially like, it was the precursor to me deciding that I was going to propose. Like things were getting a lot more serious in our relationship. That was my seventh house. Go back in time a little bit more and you'll see between November and December, it would be probably about December of 2010, Mars in the North Node crossed in the ninth house. And this was when I decided to turn a meetup group. This is my ninth house. I was leading a meetup group for the study of astrology, and I turned that meetup group into the courses that I've now been running for 14 years. So that was the ninth house Mars with the North Node. Let's turn this meetup group into a program that I teach. I gained enough experience teaching and leading this group that I felt competent to start teaching a beginner's course in astrology. So anyway, this is 14 years. You go back worth of Mars and north node conjunctions. And if you trace them out, I think you'll find, if you look at the whole sign house topics of the north node and Mars during those times, that you'll see this energy that's ready to push something forward. So I hope this has been useful. I hope that it will help you to recollect some of those stories. If you can't remember all of them or you don't identify anything, that's okay. It sometimes takes a little bit of time, depends on your memory. Look at the whole sign house topic again, that does help. But pay attention in the next week and see what is growing, what's accelerating. All right, I hope you guys are having a great day and we will see you again tomorrow. Stick around after I sign off to learn more about the upcoming program in June, the sale of which we've extended to Friday. So you have two more days. All right, and hopefully we'll see you at Neptune and Aries tomorrow night as well. Take it easy. Bye. Hey everyone, thanks for sticking around. I am going to tell you a little bit about our upcoming program, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, my year one course in ancient Hellenistic astrology that begins on June 16th. If you'd like to learn more about it, of course, you can always do some digging and looking at the course page on your own. I'll take you over there right now and walk you through it. But if you want to, you can go over yourself and look. Nightlightastrology.com is the website. Click on the courses tab and go to the first year course. This is the one that begins on June 16th, the perfect place to start for people who would like to learn more about natal astrology from the Hellenistic point of view. So this is a one-year course in Hellenistic astrology, which is the oldest form of astrology, and it is the form from which all subsequent forms of astrology come from. It shares a lot in its roots with ancient Indian astrology. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about what characterizes Hellenistic astrology, but just to familiarize you with this page, when you go to the first year course page and scroll down, you can learn more about everything that's included in the course. Some of the main features include 30 classes on the year. These classes are spread out through units of curriculum. And in between the major units of curriculum, we have breakout study sessions led by our tutoring staff. We also have an interactive group forum discussion that is staffed with tutors year-round. You always get your questions answered within 24 hours. So there's a lot of support built into the program as we work our way through the curriculum. We also have recommended reading, listening, optional quizzes, flashcards, bonus lectures, more than you could possibly read in a year, honestly. So we just have a large and long biography and sort of library of suggested bonus content that will fill in blanks and also supplement and deepen the material that we are studying. You get lifetime access to all the recordings. If you cannot attend the webinars live, they meet on the weekends. But if you can't attend them live, then you are welcome to follow along with the recordings, which are made available to you on the class website. So this class meets on Sundays from noon Central to 2 p.m. Central, or 1 Eastern to 3 p.m. Eastern time. And you might translate that, I guess, if you're on the West Coast, it would be what, 10 a.m. to noon Pacific time. During the program, in addition to working our way through all of the major curriculum, the major foundational elements of Hellenistic astrology, we place a strong emphasis on preparing ourselves to read charts for other people. Whether this is a hobby for you or something that you are endeavoring to practice professionally, the course is built for people who are really there for a lot of different reasons. This is your hobby. This is your passion. You hope to do this for really no one other than yourself or maybe friends or family or someone who really decides they want to start a practice. You can take this class at whatever level of interest or depth that you want because of the amount of material that we make available to you inside and outside of class. You always have access to the program too, so you can always, you know, take it at your own pace. You can attend live, follow along with the recordings, some combination of both. And then the breakout study sessions are really helpful in addition to our interactive group forum discussion. You can always ask us questions. You can email me anytime with questions. So we have a lot of support in place. Now, the curriculum, we move through the foundational elements of ancient astrology. You may look at the curriculum and say, well, I know something about these things already, but not really, not unless you've studied Hellenistic astrology, because the way that ancient astrologers talked about houses, signs, planets, aspects, essential dignities, chart delineation is radically different from what most people learn when they start studying modern astrology. The reason for that is that it's only been in the past couple of decades that we have finally had access to the vast majority of ancient texts on Hellenistic astrology. We were literally missing the bulk of our ancient tradition. So the kind of rebirth or reawakening of ancient astrology is really new, which makes this very exciting, because everything you've learned in modern astrology is probably coming from the lens of what is called psychological astrology, which is a way of looking at the birth chart in terms of the planet signs, houses, and the way in which they may relate to your psychological makeup or profile. In this way, birth charts are a little bit like an elaborate Myers-Briggs. So you have the personality profiling, which is the way that most people look at planets, houses, and signs. You'll notice my Mars, my Venus, and they think of them as aspects or dimensions of your character and personality. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, we utilize much of the same language, and we certainly have that approach available to us in this program, because ancient astrologers also looked at the chart in terms of psychological makeup. However, one of the main distinctions between modern astrology and ancient astrology is the emphasis that ancient astrologers placed on prediction. They looked at the chart in terms of a field of karma that defines the native or the individual's fate or destiny. And so we look at houses, signs, planets, aspects as a way of understanding what patterns, themes, and topics are going to be most prevalent and at what times, because they also had a very elaborate system of timing techniques. The year one program is all about learning to read the birth chart and understanding the ancient hermetic sort of Platonic Pythagorean philosophy that was behind the establishment of all of the doctrines and teachings of astrology itself. So it's really about understanding where everything comes from. It's the why behind everything that greatly empowers people when they're learning astrology. It is not nearly the same when you just study lists of adjectives and descriptions for houses, signs, planets, aspects. We want to understand why. Why do we do these things at all? Where did it all come from? And when you understand that, then you have something like a skeleton key by means of which you can access your own creativity, your own intuition, rather than being told, just play these notes in this order and it will sound good. You're learning to improvise. Which could anyone ever want to play? Why would you want to play an instrument if someone told you, well, here's how to play. Play this, play this, play that. And you never learned how to play something of your own, or you never learned how to use the scales in ways that were magical and, pertain to your own genie, your own genius. So when we study ancient astrology, one of the main things we're doing is we're taking people beyond anything that they think they've learned about houses, signs, planets, aspects, and we're teaching them where it all came from. And once you have that, then you're really cooking with fire. You have a magical, intuitive capacity that is very rare and precious in astrology. So anyway, we move through a lot of different elements, but not in the way that you've ever learned them before. And that's a really important distinction. So anyway, after all of that has been said, in each unit, we spend, maybe up to 10 hours on houses. And then we have a breakout study session, and then we have reading and bonus material. So when we talk about houses in this class, you are learning where the concept of a house ever came from in the first place, what it is, how it works, and how it's different from a sign. You're also going to unlearn and break a lot of bad habits, because not by any intentional ignorance, but modern astrology, being bereft of its ancient textual tradition, has been teaching a lot of things that are just not in line with where the actual theoretical foundations of astrology come from. So you're also going to break some bad habits, which is really good for people who maybe know a little bit about astrology already, but are seeking to clarify and understand theory in the context of the 2000 year history of astrology. So anyway, this class is going to prepare you to read birth charts for other people. But then by the end, one of the great things about the program is that the way we do that is not just by pumping you full of theory and history and philosophy. We are also, in the last portion of the program, inviting live clients into the class. And that's great, because when we have live clients come in, you're going to see me read from them using the theory and techniques that we've been studying. And you're going to see how they can be applied artfully, as well as, giving you some tools and methods and techniques to use to set you up for success. Seeing live astrology practice while studying it is the best way to learn. So the last portion of the program, we turn toward that hands-on approach. Anyway, so that's a bit about the program. If you have any questions you want to ask, email us info@nightlightastrology.com. We're happy to answer any questions you have whatsoever. I also want to point people to the payment options at the bottom. Early bird payment saves you $500 off. That is a great way to save. The payment plan is breaking the tuition into 12 monthly installments. If that works better for you, no worries, you can do that. And then need-based tuition. we, for, you know, many, many years now, dating back to 2010, when I started teaching astrology, I've always had some kind of sliding scale option available for people when studying astrology. Sacred science like this should be accessible to people of all different socioeconomic backgrounds. So we pride ourselves on making sure that there is tuition assistance available so that if your budget doesn't match with the payment price that we ask for, and that's an honest assessment that we trust you to make, that you can take advantage of the tuition assistance and set your price within a sliding scale that we provide for your monthly tuition for 12 months through the program. So please feel free to apply for that if it makes sense to you. We don't want people hurting themselves or overextending themselves. A price that fits your budget is available through the need-based tuition. We just ask that you apply early because we do fill up sometimes. So anyway, that is it. I hope that you will consider studying with us, and thanks for taking time to learn more about the program. See you later.